Good morning and welcome. Hour number two of our get-together begins. It is 7:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Some of your top stories. U.S., Iran, still a huge impasse there. Doesn't feel like anything is really happening. The 60-day window, the moo, that is done. Where do we go from here? More on that coming up. MS Now, CIA director on there, former CIA director. You know what? This is the closest I get to Trump derangement syndrome. I think I have John Brennan derangement syndrome.
Oh, no doubt.
I absolutely cannot stand that man. He is just a lying sack of...
He's not good.
No. Can't stand him. But so what is he saying? Law schools will study corruption under Trump and Blanche.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. You know, the legal profession has to take a look at itself. I'm sure that in years in the future, there's going to be law courses that are going to be looking at the corruption under, you know, Trump and Blanche years. It's one thing for lawyers, criminal lawyers, to be able to defend unsavory characters and to do everything possible because they are owed that by our system of governance and system of justice. But when lawyers come into the government, they have a higher obligation. What about your obligation? Man, as CIA director... this guy is just such bad news, and he's one that, you know, it just I wish he would retire from any sort of public life completely. Him and James Clapper, I mean, they were two of the worst CIA directors we've ever had, and he absolutely can't be trusted. He's absolutely the most partisan hack, I believe, that's ever come out of the CIA. I mean, a partisan hack and a lying hack.
But they love them, a microphone and a camera.
Yeah.
They can't stay away.
Well, and they have no other sport, you know, Donald Trump.
Yeah, pretty much.
What about all the corruption that took place, you know, in the intelligence community? What about all the corruption that took place trying to say that Trump was a spy? What about spying on Trump? Does Brennan ever talk about that?
You mean the original true weaponization of our government?
Correct.
Which they like to say Trump is doing now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, and again, it goes to, you know, they call you what they are. So, you know, he wants to call somebody corrupt. You know, take it for what it's worth. That's another John Brennan. All right, I got to move past it. Here's one that's going to irritate you. Four people, including three teenagers, are in custody in connection with the fatal shooting of an 18-year-old at a Southside park last month, according to Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Authorities identified the victim as Marvin Orporta Garcia, a legal refugee residing in the United States. Investigators revealed that all four suspects in custody are residing in the U.S. without legal immigration status. Another shocker. And this one hits kind of close to home in, with Jacksonville. Yep. And, we could go into it. I could give you their names. Native of Nicaragua, Honduras, Cuba, and Honduras, all four of them, 16, 17, 18, and 21 years old. Police made the arrest on Saturday. All four suspects booked into the Duval County Jail. Sheriff's Office noted the federal authorities have also been notified regarding the suspect's legal status. So at least in Florida, you know, that will get handled properly. But once again, there's a life that is lost because these people are here and they shouldn't be. And once again, this is our daily... We only do it once, one story like this with illegals killing, raping, or murdering because we don't want to take up the whole show with it. Yeah. But this is an ongoing issue, and it will be ongoing. I don't even think we've come close to, you know, the halfway point, if you will.
No.
And we've got to get rid of these folks. I mean, it's just that's the bottom line. They don't belong here. And they need to go back. And at the same time, here you've got these lefty socialists and Democrats calling for the abolishment of ICE. If your kid was murdered by a bunch of illegals, would you still feel the same way? I guess you could lie and say yes. But, I mean, think about it. Is that what it has to happen to you personally for you to for your eyes to be opened. Oh, hey, yeah, maybe that wide open, you know, immigration, open borders, not maybe a great idea for Americans.
Wow. You think?
Yeah. More than 2 months into hurricane season, Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins announced Monday that he was enlisting Florida's emergency management director as his running mate. Ooh. I can smell the ink on that one, hot off the press.
That's fresh news right there.
Thank you, Greg.
You betcha.
Collins announced that Kevin Guthrie, executive director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management, had agreed to come aboard his gubernatorial campaign. The announcement, it is notable for a few reasons. It came on the eve of a Florida Republican primary for governor that shows Collins is lagging behind the front runner, Byron Donalds. And Collins asked Guthrie to join the ticket only hours before the Palm Harbor News Conference at a Krabby Bill's restaurant. The rushed partnership developed so quickly that Collins and Guthrie said they hadn't alerted Governor Ron DeSantis, who appointed Guthrie to the job in 2021. You're the best at what you do, not just in Florida, but in America, quite possibly the world, Collins told Guthrie as he introduced him to the crowd of supporters. When people's lives are on the line, that is the man that we all hope is in charge of what's going on, or what, I'm sorry, what's going wrong at that time. When asked by Tampa Bay Times how he would balance his duties if a crisis erupted in the state during a campaign season, Guthrie said that he would consider quitting his job as emergency management director. So, yeah, he'll have to figure that out.
Right.
But the results of today's election may make things, well, it will make things, I think, much, much clearer.
It's going to be an interesting day, to say the least.
You know, let me ask you this. If let's just say, you know, Jay Collins does a little bit better than some of the early polling is showing.
Right.
Paul Renner does better, and we've spoken to both of them, and they both feel like they're definitely going to do better than what polling is showing.
Yes, correct.
And so if they both do better, and then those are takeaways from possibly Byron Donalds directly,
right,
starts to pull away from his numbers, is there a possibility that Fishback could be a dark horse that...
That's a whole another interesting thing.
Right?
I don't know, though. I think you've got a very specific demo that's kind of on the Fishback campaign there. I don't know if there's enough of them.
Enough numbers-wise.
But you're right. You've probably got a lot of the same kind of people, but slightly different, I guess, but maybe demographically, some are just Jay, some are Paul, and you've still got the anybody but Byron, you know, going back to the NASCAR days of anybody but Gordon. Sometimes that happens when they... people presume to be the front runner, they're just opposed to that. So I think you've got a lot of that at the street level. So this is one of those I couldn't call it no matter what you gave me. I mean, Byron leads polls, but is that the real world?
I mean, if I had to bet, my real money, I would bet that, you know, he's going to win it.
But after in that whole shuffle of Paul and Jay and Fishback, I don't know.
And anything is possible.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Governor DeSantis really beating Putnam in the primary. Mm-hmm. I did not see that at all. Putnam was, you know, very well spoken, very good managed campaign. You know, we had him on the air, and Adam Putnam was a rising star. I mean, I thought the future was bright for him. And so I was kind of shocked. I felt like DeSantis, in many ways, kind of came out of nowhere. Uh-huh. And, of course, look, then he had to go to the general.
Yeah.
And then face that Gilliam.
Who, man, can you imagine if we had... Wow.
That...
it's tough to lead the state from prison, you know, I'm just saying.
Can you imagine somebody like that, you know, in charge when, you know, hurricanes are blowing through and farmers need help and all kinds of things are going on in the state, you know, and he would be at the helm?
No.
That just...
there'd be something blowing.
Yep. It is going to be an interesting day, evening, and of course in the morning, we'll look at it all, we'll slice it and dice it, and tell you what has occurred. Very interesting day today, politically in general, but I think all eyes are on Florida.
Oh, yeah.
717 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up next, what's bugging you? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest, whatever it is. Anything from people not utilizing their headlights or turn signals to much bigger issues. Call in now. 877-975-9825. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. And you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's another awesome day. 7:22 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is time to air it out. Get it off your chest. We call the segment, What's Bugging You? Probably because it's sponsored by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. But call in. There's got to be something irritating you now. 877-975-9825. I'll kick it off. I'll give you an idea. What's bugging me is, as helpful as the YouTube videos can be, and they are, somebody commented about, did you go to YouTube University to pick your hot tub recently?
Right.
Yes, I have utilized it. Some sites are better than others. Some are more detailed. But here's the bottom line. You know, it could say remove this bolt, but then you realize the frame's in the way. Your hand is a certain size. It's got to go under there. It's got to find the nut that is in the dark. You can't actually see it. And anyway, you still have to do the job. So that, you know, that's not bugging me, but it's like, don't give too much credit, you know, to the tutorial that is helpful, but don't give all the credit because you still have to actually get it done physically. But what's bugging me is my golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got it used. I got a good deal on it. You know, I put some batteries in it. Keep it going. Fix the brakes one time. Actually, just kind of undid one of the brakes because it was sticking.
Okay.
But anyway, now it's not working.
Right.
Where you go, and I saw a fix on YouTube. I'm like, oh, I think I got it because Betsy was working on it a little bit too.
Uh-huh.
And I go, I think I got it. And I open it up and look in there, and I go, oh, somebody already did that, like a workaround to get around the, some of the controls or whatever. And so, it's bugging me that things are just not engineered for owner-operators to be able to easily repair really pretty much anything, but the golf cart's a great example of that.
Well, my mowers, my zero turn, kind of the same way. They build them the way they want to put them together on an assembly line. That's not necessarily going to make it easier for you after the fact trying to even just get, like, there'll be a brace right in front of the spark plug. Like, are you kidding me, really?
Yeah. And it's like, it's just enough aggravation to where I guess they think the average owner will just end up, you know, having somebody else do the work.
Could be, yeah.
All right, here you go. 877-975-9825. Call in now. And T-Bone, what's bugging you?
Well, the way I sound sometimes, I feel like I used to hate how my grandpa and my old uncles would be. Like, oh, back in my day, everything was a nickel. Well, I find myself being that way now. It's like everybody complaining. I'm like, I'm going to get some toothpaste at a truck stop. I'm like, $6? Oh, man, this used to be 99 cents. So I guess I'm bugging me now.
Yeah, it's look, we're there. We swore we'd never become our parents. We swore it. And yet, here we are. It does have to do with, you know, living life and our life's experiences. And, you know, remembering mostly the good,
right,
too. It's part of the human nature to remember good. So you remember the good stuff and maybe not so much the stuff that is better now than it was. Like TVs. What are they, like $1.50? You buy like a gigantic TV now for cheap.
I know.
I remember I paid over $400 for a Sony, like, 19-inch TV in 1983.
But the big difference is that one probably still works. This one's going to last you 3 years, and the little planned obsolescence chip that goes, that they do cheap on. Oh, no, I had a good discussion with an engineer friend of mine. He goes, when I was shopping for a TV, he goes, these are the brands that use this chip. It will fail in a year or two.
Wow.
So you got to watch out for those things.
Yeah.
But you're right. You can get one that'll fill your living room for, you know, less than $500.
Right.
Just hope it lasts long enough.
Yeah. Well, you could buy the warranty.
Oh, yeah.
That helps. Yeah. Depends on what it is.
Yes.
Slim again. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, what's going on? Two things are bugging me today. First thing is, yeah, I go down and I buy the right part for my plumbing under my sink. It turns out to be the wrong part. Buy another part. It's the wrong part. Turns out the original part was the right part. My bad. Second off, I tried to cancel my Asurion insurance plan, and they automatically charged me for another 30 days on the insurance plan. I didn't have the money for that, and they went ahead and hit my card anyway. Ooh. It's just really annoying. You know, I was canceling it because they wouldn't even fix anything that I tried to claim. So I just gave up, and they charged me for another month. It's ridiculous, guys. That's bugging me. Thanks.
Oh, no. That's people. That resonates with people for sure. Good morning, Steve. What's bugging you?
A lot of these people that are running for office and they're rigid and contradictory positions, you know, especially at the local and the county levels. Oh, all the politicians are lying in their pockets. Okay, where? Show us where. Oh, no data centers whatsoever. You sure about that? What about when the tax rate goes away? If the tax amendment passes and you're looking for revenue, where are you going to get that money? I don't care, but no data centers. Do you realize what data centers potentially can bring to the county as far as tax revenue and the negative or the minimal impact, if anything? And then there's the ones who, oh, we need to cut the taxes, but we need to do better for our roads. We need to do all this. It's like, really, you know, if you're going to run a campaign, get your whole campaign together. Don't sit there and throw darts and say things that you think people want to hear to get elected.
Yeah, you just nailed it with that. You just nailed it. Lisa, what's bugging you?
Flock cameras, speed zones. I got a ticket for a speed zone after school was out of session for the year.
Yeah, follow
I'd
up
love
with
for that to come up.
Yeah, follow up with that local jurisdiction or whatever. That was happening to a lot of people, and they supposedly are supposed to dismiss all of those. So just keep an eye on that. You should not be ticketed. Because that has occurred. Mark, what's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg. What's bugging me is a Saturday I met with a real estate agent to sell one of my two-acre lots out here in the sticks. And they posted on Zillow. One has my house and one has just forest. And they posted on Zillow as selling 4 acres. And I'm panicking. I'm like, But luckily the realtor cleared it up with Zillow within 24 hours.
that can happen. That's irritating all the way around, isn't it? All right. Thanks for your contributions. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Coming up, who's going to lead the press briefings? It could get interesting. We'll talk about that and more coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Well, the socialists have come back to roost. You let them in your party, you let them in your big tent, and they've infested it now. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 7:35, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Guess who's having a little bit of trouble now with the Socialist Party? The high-stakes battle between the left-wing and center-left establishment over the future of the Democratic Party takes a spotlight today here in the Sunshine State, where a member of the Democratic Socialist of America faces a more moderate incumbent Democrat who supports Israel. Now, remember, some of the stuff that was grabbing everybody's attention, Michigan's Abdul El-Sayed, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan, and so she got the Dem nod for the Senate, and a major setback for the DSA with the defeat of DSA member Francesca Hong. That was in Wisconsin, their gubernatorial primary. So, yep, it's coming to Florida. Things are going on in Alaska as well, but we're not as concerned about that, clearly. But this will set up a crucial general election showdown in several of these areas. Floridians will pick the major party nominees in the race to succeed term-limited Governor Ron DeSantis, while longtime Democratic Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The name that just won't go away.
And it may be going away because she is fighting for her political survival against a socialist candidate. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, yeah, that is a big one. Also, Florida's 25th district, where DSA endorsed Oliver Larkin, is challenging. I lost my spot on this. He's 33-year-old Larkin. He's a veteran of Bernie Sanders' 2016 Democratic presidential campaign. He's the only DSA-endorsed House candidate running in a crucial swing district. Larkin says he supports abolishing the U.S. Senate.
Oh, my goodness.
He was on a Fox News interview, and he said it's an undemocratic institution, the Senate.
Okay.
What would make it undemocratic?
Seems to me what they pretty much do is vote on things.
Yeah.
So I don't
How can it be undemocratic?
Oh, my goodness.
And has referred to Israel's ruling coalition as a religious supremacist regime. And he's going against the guy that's been there for a while, Moskowitz, who has held that seat for a while. And Jared Moskowitz, and that's he's the incumbent. He's the so-called moderate Democrat. So this is going to be interesting. I mean, clearly this Larkin guy is anti-Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The two-term federal lawmaker, former state rep, and Florida Emergency Management Director is running for re-election in the redrawn 25th Congressional District, a Broward County-anchored swing seat in a one-time battleground state that we're now red. Moskowitz enjoys the establishment backing from the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, also supported by AIPAC. That's a very pro-Israel political group, as you know. Larkin has support from prominent far-left figures, including that nutbag Hassan Piker.
Oh, my goodness. He's bad news.
Back to Wasserman Schultz, which I really wanted to get to. 11-term congresswoman. 11
wow.
terms. So, what, 22 years?
She's been around.
And former Democratic National Committee chair running for re-election. And because her district is redrawn, that's a little bit more of a challenge. She actually lives in an adjacent district, and she's faced criticism from black leaders for being the only white candidate running for a majority-minority seat that has been represented by black lawmakers for three decades. That's all because of the changes in the way they did the districting. So this will be interesting to see if Wasserman Schultz makes it through this primary. And then what happens in the general, would that give a Republican a better shot?
Wow.
You would think.
And that's kind of the big whole thing. We don't want the Democrat Socialist in there, but they may be better for us as far as an opponent is concerned than a more moderate Democrat.
The one thing you don't want to do is, I guess, take them lightly.
No, not at all.
You don't want to look past them. You don't want to say, because we're a Republican facing a Democrat Socialist, this is going to be easy pickings, you know, in a red state. But everything defined district by district, you never know what could happen. You've got this groundswell of support for these Democrat Socialists in many cases. It's frightening. It needs to be dealt with effectively. The Republicans need to be very, very proactive in getting the message out of what they do believe in and why. And how that benefits the average citizen. I mean, to me, if you can get people to at least listen, it's not hard to sell capitalism over socialism. You know, you've got history on your side, but you've got to get them to at least listen.
We've not been good at messaging for years. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, the deal is, as I've said before, if you're a Republican candidate and you go up to a home plate, you start with two strikes against you, one of them being the media. So,
good point.
Yeah, that's so it's always, from that perspective, always been a little bit more challenging. Right? Now, what's going to happen in the White House when Caroline Leavitt exits? I think she's staying to what, the end of the month?
Yeah.
That's coming up fairly quickly.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And so what's going to happen? It's a temporary practice that satisfied Trump during the period that Leavitt was off from maternity leave, meaning having the press briefings be kind of anchored, if you will, by members of the cabinet. Remember Rubio?
Mm-hmm.
did one. Several of them.
Vance did one?
Yeah. During Levitt's maternity leave, they had, let's see, J.D. Vance, right? Marco Rubio, Scott Bessent.
Yeah, he's great.
And Dr. Oz. I almost forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bessent, whatever. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, he's definitely grown on me. I mean, philosophically and policy-wise, I was always 100%. But his style.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, man, this guy could be better. I don't know if he grew on me or he just actually got better.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I like him a lot.
It could be.
Yeah, he's a great spokesperson for the administration.
In many ways, the White House faces less pressure than previous administrations to find its next press secretary because of how frequently Trump engages with reporters. Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's one of a kind when it comes to that, I think, being open with the media the way he is. I mean, you'd think they'd be, you know, appreciative and thankful, and some of them probably are.
Yeah, but Biden was MIA half the time. So, I mean, he would go how long without any kind of a press, any visibility at all? I mean,
well, he's a guy
crazy.
That, you know, disappeared into the basement during his own campaign.
Oh, that's true.
And still got 80 million more votes.
Sure he did. I mean, yeah.
sure he did.
What you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they all went away again during the next election.
Oh, speaking of the White House and Trump and reporters, CNN has fired back at the White House on Monday after President Trump's rapid response team took aim at CNN White House correspondent Kristen Holmes. While Trump took questions from the Oval Office, Holmes asked him for his reaction to viral comments made by Senator John Ossoff, who claimed that Trump would rather build a ballroom and travel with Natalie, meaning Natalie Harp, than do his job as president.
Oh, my goodness.
Trump replied by calling him, Ossoff, Pee Wee Herman. Yeah, I love that.
I do, and yeah.
Rapid Response 47 account on X slammed Holmes for invoking Ossoff's jab, which fueled online fodder for liberal critics pushing unfounded claims of inappropriate relationship between Trump and Harp. Holmes is disgraceful, humiliating embarrassment to our alleged profession. Now, remember, this is coming not directly from Trump, but by the White House run account on X.
All right.
So POTUS hosts a hero lifeguard in the Oval Office, and she uses it as an opportunity to take a cheap shot about one of President Trump's staffers. These scumbags are the lowest of the low. Someday, your children will come across your disgusting and inhumane question. They will be sickened and embarrassed to have a parent be so callous and vindictive. It's quite troubling. Wow. Wouldn't you love to be in the position where you get to post on X under, you know, the White House run account?
Man.
In other words, not specific to you, maybe.
Yeah.
But you sit around a round table and you go, yeah, how do you guys want to answer this one? Well,
oh man,
let's talk about, I don't know, their children and how they're going to look at them with disgust.
Wow.
And on it goes. Uh-huh. And on it goes. Hey, really, I don't want to lose focus of the fact that President Trump did have that lifeguard in. We'll talk about that a little bit because you know what we need?
What's that?
We need an upbeat story. We need something positive.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
We need a hero. Don't start singing.
Okay.
7:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Trash Talking Tuesday on 97.3 The Sky. Strumming right along. Good morning. Welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. And, yep, it is a Trash Talking Tuesday. So we're talking some trash today. No doubt about that. And it's brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. Hey, I got a positive upbeat story, but first, we've been complaining about the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been hot. The feels like temperature, you know, triple digits it's reached a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad. We're tired of it. But let me reset and help you feel better
okay.
in my own twisted logic.
Uh-oh.
at least we don't have a major hurricane bearing down on us in our state.
See, perspective.
You like that?
I like it.
And because we've been here for you then, and we're still here for you now. 97.3 The Sky is the station you've always counted on for tropical weather and hurricane information. I am proud to report to you that tropical cyclone activity is not expected during the next 7 days. And I mean from here all the way to the African coast. The coast, when they say the coast is clear,
yeah,
man oh man.
That's a lot of coast.
That's a lot of coast. That's a lot of green in between, as we would say. Mm-hmm. And it's all looking good. I love that. Hey, but we're still on top of it just in case. Sky Storm Watch for area rug masters, Radiant Credit Union, and Best Restoration, the masters of disasters. Finally, heroes. We need them, we want them, and we're proud of them, and it is nice to see the accolades of this 16-year-old lifeguard who pulled that 10-year-old from violent waves in Santa Cruz, California. I mean, those waves were coming in heavy and harsh.
Oh, they were hitting him.
Not like the 16-year-old's like big anyway.
No,
he's the average 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And he rescued Nathaniel Ray. Well, guess what? They got to join President Trump in the Oval Office, where the president recognized the lifeguard's heroic actions. Trump called it an honor to host him. I understand he was a winner right from the time they first saw him as a lifeguard. A lot of training, a lot of work, and he saved this young gentleman. Nice. Trump told Ray that the rescue means he's going to have good luck in life. Video of the rescue shows Williams battling these waves, refusing to let go of Ray, despite violent rip currents repeatedly undermining their progress toward the shore. He ultimately succeeded in his effort to save Ray. Trump called Williams a real hero and said God was watching.
Nice.
He also said that young Americans will look up to both Williams and Ray for how they handled the crisis. Yep, they're going to look up to Ryder. They're going to look up to Nathaniel, the way that Nathaniel handled it. He was cool considering the problems. I was watching. You were very cool, and you're going to gain respect. I think you know, very importantly, you're going to gain respect for what these people do, having to do with lifeguards, having to do with safety. This is an unbelievable experience. He said that Williams demonstrated tremendous grace in the face of danger. When asked what was going through his mind, he said, well, he was just focusing on employing his training. In those dangerous moments that we have, we always try to fall back on our training. We're trained so well by so many to handle that situation as best we can. So I really was thinking about how to get that boy out of the water as fast as I can. He noted that he hopes to be a firefighter one day, and the president quipped, we'll give him recommendations. So, wow. It never gets old. I've seen that film, that clip over and over again, and I just love it.
Well, that kid would just lean in. He knew the waves were coming.
Yeah.
And he's holding on to the kid, and he's leaning into it, knowing it's going to try to take him down again. So
he
awesome.
Gives credit to the training that he received, and that's very, very important. Because if you're dealing with an open ocean scenario,
But
16 seems kind of young, doesn't it?
That was my first thought, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're a good swimmer, you're a good swimmer. And then with proper training, you can save lives. I thought, man, to be on the West Coast in the Pacific and, I mean, the Atlantic can get nasty, even nastier, really. But that seems like a pretty serious situation to have someone in who's 16. But, then again, I guess the rate of maturation is different. Well, just like it was different back in our day, 16, Greg was out on the street corner, smoking Lucky Strikes and gambling, his mom's money away.
Well, think about all the kids that snuck into the military during World War II.
Ah, that's a good point.
They were kids, they really were.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and they were heroes too, no doubt about it. Actor Daniel Baldwin apparently has done an about-face on his past support of Barack Obama and Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he's now calling them both criminals who should be in jail. He was appearing on Bill O'Reilly's podcast. The Hawaii Five-0 actor now has come to believe that his past political heroes are less than ideal. O'Reilly asked Baldwin about the reality that many actors have felt pressured to speak up as a left-winger in order to get work in the industry. Baldwin noted that this sort of thing has been part of Hollywood for a long time and even participated in it. He admitted that he is now a crossover from the left to the right.
Wow. Joined his brother Steven, who's always kind of been on.
And he didn't have to have a stroke to see the light.
So it can happen just naturally. Yeah.
It can.
Nice.
I was a Democrat. I supported Barack Obama. I look back at that now. I feel very bad because I think he's going to be in big trouble. His legacy will be destroyed. He's a criminal, in my opinion.
Wow.
But I was part of it, so I didn't really notice it. Now my phone never rings. If you want to get rid of those pesky job offers, just come out. If you're in Hollywood, come out for Trump. And
hilarious.
You'll have some early retirement, I guess.
Mm.
He said, I have a podcast that I come right out and call Anthony Fauci a war criminal. He's a war criminal. He should go to prison for sure, along with a lot of them. It's not popular to be on this side, he said, of being on the right side of the political aisle. He also talked about Hollywood's blacklist against conservative actors and how conservative creators are starting to shun the woke BS.
He
talked about careers of, conservative actors like Dean Cain and Scott Baio.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said that a lot of actors simply won't speak their minds as conservatives for fear of losing their Hollywood careers. Again,
sad.
That's nothing really new, but it's interesting to see that he's made the crossover.
Uh-huh.
He's seen the light. He has come to the good side. 7:57 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got a lot more to talk about. Special guest in the studio, 905. Stay tuned.